Chapter 5 Cutting Closing Costs. Few agents stress it, and even fewer outside the business understand it. But closing costs are the real bane of investing in real estate. Consider, if you buy or sell stocks or bonds, the transaction charge, even for a full-service brokerage, is likely to be only a few $100s at most. The fee can be as little as under $30 with a discount stockbroker. In contrast, with real estate, the closing costs are almost always thousands of dollars. For example, a seller who uses a full-service agent can expect to pay around 8% of the price of the home in closing costs. For the same property, the buyer's closing costs can be 2 to 4%. That means that the combined closing costs for the buyer and seller amount to 10% or higher. On a $200,000 home, that's $20,000, a fair piece of change. For the person who buys and sells a home every decade or so, statistically, people in the United States change homes about once every 8 or 9 years, the closing costs may seem like a lot of money, but not enough to make them change their habits. When they buy and sell real estate, 85% of sellers still use agents, and 90% of buyers do. On the other hand, for the investor who may buy and sell one or more properties every year, these costs can be quite onerous. If you're paying out 10% for the round trip, it's going to take a big bite out of your profits. Therefore, it's very important for the investor to seek ways to reduce those closing costs. We'll see just how you can do that in this chapter. Negotiating the closing costs. In real estate, everything is negotiable, including the closing costs. Normally, buyers pay their share and sellers theirs, as determined by local custom. However, there's nothing to prevent your having the other party pay your closing costs. Why would the other party be willing to do that? Actually, they wouldn't. If I'm selling my house and the buyers ask me to pay their closing costs, my answer is no. What a ridiculous question. Case closed. On the other hand, if the buyers write into the purchase agreement a clause that says their purchase is contingent on my, the seller, paying the closing costs, then it's a slightly different matter. Now, it's the case that if I want the deal, I have to pay their costs. If I don't pay their costs, then I chance losing the deal. The buyers, here, have made the closing costs a deal point, a deal maker or breaker. Of course, if you demand something in one area, you're likely to have to give something up in another area. If you ask the sellers to pay your closing costs, chances are they will want you to pay a higher price. What you gain with one hand, you lose with the other, right? Not necessarily. Remember, as a buyer investor, it's highly unlikely you'll be going in at full price. Instead, you'll lowball the sellers hoping to pick up the property at a bargain price. All of which is to say that there's probably going to be a lot of negotiation before the final price is agreed upon. When that's the case, my suggestion is that you do not bring up the matter of your closing costs. Rather, you bargain as ruggedly as you can for the price. If the sellers ultimately agree to your original lowball figure, then forget about asking them to pay the closing costs. You're already getting the house at a bargain basement price. On the other hand, what's more likely is that they'll come down some while you come up some. Eventually, the negotiations will reach a crisis. The sellers simply won't come down any further. If you can live with their final price, then at that point agree to it, provided they pay for your closing costs. In other words, stop arguing about price and instead turn to terms. It's positively amazing how often sellers will agree to terms if you give them their price. For example, you may be buying a $300,000 property, and after negotiations, you're down to offering $240,000, while they're insisting on $250,000. Only $10,000 separates you. If you can live with a $250,000 price, a reduction of roughly 17% of the asking price, not bad. Then agree to it, providing the sellers pay for your closing costs. Since these could be an additional 3%, that's another $7,500 thrown your way. Even better, it's in the form of cash that you would otherwise have to come up with. It's $7,500 that you don't have to take out of your pocket to make the deal. The sales price remains $250,000. However, you get a credit toward your closing costs of $7,500. Of course, it works both ways. When you're the seller, you can demand that the buyers pay for your closing costs, or a portion of them. Because of the commission, sellers' closing costs are usually far higher than buyers. But to make the deal, they may be willing to do it. Don't think this is an unusual occurrence. It happens in transactions all the time. However, it will never happen unless you insist upon it. Wise investors make it a regular issue to insist that closing costs be part of the deal. A different way to avoid paying the closing costs from out-of-pocket cash is to finance them. Here, instead of the sellers footing the bill, the lender does. Yes, it can work, but you must be careful to find a lender who is agreeable and doubly careful to be sure the lender is fully aware of what's happening. You don't want an angry lender to later come back and try to either raise your interest rate or rescind your loan because some vital information was held back from them. To see how this works, let's assume that you're getting a 90% loan, putting down 10% of your own money. The property is priced at $200,000, so at full price, the loan amount would be $180,000, with your coming up with $20,000 down. Further, let's say there's an additional $5,000 in costs. The question is, how do you finance that $5,000? Once again, we're going to assume that, as an investor, you're not going to pay full price. Indeed, let's say that after negotiations, you can see that you and the seller will probably agree on a price of around $180,000. That means that you'll need to put down $18,000 with the lender, making a new mortgage of $162,000. However, the closing costs are still $5,000. At this point, you make this offer to the sellers. Instead of a final purchase price of $180,000, you'll pay the sellers the purchase price of $185,000, or $5,000 more. And they, in turn, will give you a $5,000 credit. Is that agreeable? Notice the difference between this and the previous deal. In that case, the seller's credit to you for closing costs was below the final price. Here, the price is higher. This shouldn't make any difference to the sellers, since they're getting the same money anyhow. However, it will make a big difference to you. At a sales price of $180,000, your mortgage is $162,000. At a sales price of $185,000, the mortgage is now $166,500, or roughly $5,000 more. What you've effectively done is create $5,000 from the mortgage, which will now go to pay your closing costs. You've financed them. There's no sleight of hand involved. All that's happened is that you're paying a slightly higher price for the property, and the seller, in exchange, is paying your closing costs. It's the same to the seller. You've just got a loan roughly $5,000 higher. As I said, you've financed the closing costs. A lender may object to the transaction just described. The lender may say that the true sales price was $5,000 lower, and thus, so should be the loan. To my way of thinking, this makes little sense. The loan is, or should be, based on the value of the property as determined by an appraisal. No lender worth its salt will offer a mortgage without an appraisal. And if the property appraises out at the full price, in this case $185,000, what's the difference how the negotiations went? In addition, the loan should be based on the loan-to-value, LTV, not on the LTV plus closing costs. Thus, as long as you still put the full down payment into the property, in this case 10%, you should be meeting the lender's criteria for making the loan. Nevertheless, if the purchase agreement reflects a price increase at the very end of negotiations, a lender may object, saying that the purpose is to get a higher LTV than is warranted on the property. In all probability, the lender is simply worrying that there's some hanky-panky going on that they're not aware of, and they just don't want to take any chances. There is a way to avoid this problem. First, find a lender who doesn't object. Many do not. Then, make sure your written offer only reflects the final purchase price. You can simply tell the seller what your final offer will be and why you want it handled the way you do. If the seller agrees, write it up that way.